Well, this morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, picking up where we left off last week, since the preacher was kind of long-winded and didn't make it through all his notes. But we're going to be picking up in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Last week we started at the beginning of chapter 10, talking about Peter's vision and really the gospel going to the Gentile nations in a way it hadn't before. Because you read before this point in Acts, you read throughout the Old Testament, you do see some encounters where people of non-Jewish ethnicity get saved. But to this point, you didn't really see it in great waves. But it's about to take off. And praise the Lord, it did. Because it allowed us to hear the gospel. But we talked a lot about how God prepares us. How the events, the things we go through in life, can all have divine purposes of God shaping us for the opportunity to come. Yeah. Whether it's good things that we go through or it's bad things that we go through. Because sometimes when we do go through the bad things, it gives us more of a voice, more of a platform. It doesn't make it easier to go through it, but it gives some comfort to know God can redeem the pain, that He can bring beauty out of the pain. And as we study the Bible, that we see one day the pain will be no more. That we will be in a perfect creation for all eternity. That living in a fallen world is just a brief 70, 80, 90 years if we get lucky. Or more like blessed. But what's 70, 80, 90, even 100 years compared to eternity? It's just really a blank. And so if we have to suffer for the gospel in a blank, let it be.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I promise when it gets to eternity, you won't regret the suffering you went through so others heard the gospel. So family, friends, the nations heard the gospel. It may be tough now, but we can look at the words of 1 Corinthians. We can look at the words in Revelation and see how God moves. But we also talked about how God really starts molding our hearts to those He wants us to go to. We asked the question, who does your heart break for? What breaks your heart?
Wow.
I can say this right on the front, that heart breaks for young people. Because we see what they do about it. When we go around the room, person by person, in the way you live your life, you can see what breaks your heart. The thing is, when something breaks your heart, the question is, what are you going to do about it?
Wow.
Are you going to act upon it? Or are you just going to let it break your heart and ignore it?
That's good, brother.
And I think oftentimes we start praying about what breaks our heart, but then our feet, it's like they get stuck in mouse traps, the sticky glue kind, and we don't want to move our feet. It's like, well, I'm going to pray I'm doing good enough. But Scripture makes it evident that we have a responsibility for our feet to go. That we ain't meant to just stay stationary. That we ain't meant to just pray and let it be. We pray and act. Now, as I see this, what God does lead us to be prayer warriors and just to pray, yes. But if you're capable of going, He's gifted you with the ability to go, you go. And go through the doors that He has opened. And realize, as we're going back to look at, you go by His grace and His grace alone. What you're at in your life is by His grace and His grace alone. You're able to be saved because of His blood.
Right.
Not because of your blood, not because of your work, but because of His blood. You didn't choose to be born in a country where the gospel is preached readily, where Bibles are readily available. Not a single one of us had the option to say, I'm going to be born in the United States of America. But what a blessing it was to live in a country where we can so freely hear the gospel. But how often do we take that grace for granted when it comes to our faith? The freedom we have to share our faith.
Yes, right.
Because it's not a freedom we experience everywhere. I think I've shared it before. I've been in a country where it's illegal to share your faith. Every time we shared over there, it really added a whole nother perspective to it. Because the back of my mind, I'm going, I really hope this ain't an undercover cop. Because I really don't want to go to this jail where I don't speak no language of this country. But they need to hear the gospel because they had never heard it. And that's some facial expressions. That's some reactions we get. I won't never forget. I will never forget being in this village. And we shared the gospel with this one guy. We didn't speak none of the language, but we had a little box that played the gospel and had some messages. Because at this point, I translated and went with the other guy, and we went two different directions. So we're walking around not knowing a bit of the language without a translator. But, I mean, we played it, and you can see it beginning to register with this guy. Never had heard the gospel before. Gospel never been preached here. And he used sign language we all understood. He goes, what does that mean? Wait 1 minute. Next thing we know, that dude's out the door. I was like, all right, what's going on? Is he going to get the cops? Or is he going to get something to give us? Or is he going to grab somebody? We had no way of knowing. So we waited. He came back in with about, it was 5 or 6 other guys, and they started pointing at the movie we had that we showed them. And it was like, and so we played it. And the first group that came to my house, the Samaritan woman at the well, as soon as she heard, what did she do? She ran and brought more people. And every time I think about that story, I'm like, this man hadn't known the gospel for 5 minutes. And I already told five or six people about the gospel. And I remember we walked away from that little hut. And I asked myself, have I told 5 people in the States this year the gospel? Wow. So this man, within 5 minutes, probably has told more folks than I've told in the last month. And I've got the freedom to do it. This man's risking his life, risking going to jail, risking everything he has to share his faith. Because in this country, it was illegal to have any type of religion. So he knew, regardless of what faith it was a danger to him to go share. But he did. Yet how many times are we timid to share? Because is that really any repercussions we have to face for sharing our faith? Not really. You may get a little ridicule. You may have some family members, when they see you coming, oh no, here we go again. But do we risk our livelihoods, our lives, our possessions? No. Why do we stay silent? So readily have the Bible. Why do we keep this grace shown to us, to ourselves? Should we not, the ones that, since we've been given much, shouldn't we give much? Give much of the grace given to us? But Acts chapter 10, verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right. Let me start over. I'm struggling through that sentence. Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather in your house, Lord. Lord, let us not take for granted the grace you have given us. Lord, let us not take for granted the trials you have given us, Lord. How these trials have prepared us for this year, for what is to come, to glorify you, Lord. Let us not waste a blessing. Let us not waste a trial. Let us use every single instance for your glory. Let it not be about our glory. Let it not be about our comfort, but your name, your kingdom, and about souls entering your kingdom. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you bless the preaching of your word, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that our hearts have been prepared to hear your truth. Let us receive your truth, Lord. When it convicts, Lord, let us listen. Let us not run. Let us not make excuses, but let us listen. Yeah. Lord, bless the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love how Peter starts this conversation. As we've talked about over the last couple weeks, the preparation that happened. What does he do when the moment finally comes? He ultimately shares the gospel. Yeah. Do we not see the gospel in what we just read? Mm-hmm. He shared of what Jesus did. Peter didn't go on, oh, I preached in Jerusalem a few weeks ago and thousands got saved. Oh, this guy needed some money, but I made him walk instead. He didn't go on and on about all the things he had done. Right. He went on about who Jesus Christ was, the message of peace that Jesus had brought, what Christ had done, about the healing power of Christ. When we share how often are we tempted to start with other things? How easy can it be sometimes to talk about ourselves? And that's one of the greatest things we have to guard against when we share our testimonies. But sometimes it can get easy to talking about us. And we don't mean to put Christ to the side. But it happens at times. I mean, that's one thing I love about listening to Luke share his testimony. To me, he's by far one of the best at sharing his. Because as he's sharing his story, as you heard, he lived a wild life. But constantly throughout it, he brings it back to the scriptures. He brings it back to the goodness of God, the power of God. He didn't glorify the life he lived. He didn't glorify the people in his life. He glorified God. And what a beautiful thing is when we can glorify God. Or how often when we're trying to win people to the Lord, we're tempted to start with other things besides the scriptures. We must start with the gospel. We can win all the arguments we want, but if they don't hear the gospel, what good is it? We can change all the habits of people, but if they have not heard the gospel, to what end? Like I've said many times, I'm an easy one to get caught up in an argument. I mean, I like to argue. I like to debate. And again, it's something I have to guard myself against. Because when I have a conversation with folks, before I know it, I'll go down that rabbit hole. And then if the Lord don't convict me, I won't never reroute it back to the gospel. But that's been many times I'll go down that rabbit hole, and all right, the Lord's like, all right, Austin, let's bring it back over here. You're getting away from the word. You get more into lofty arguments. But we must start with the gospel. The blood of Christ. Because that's what transforms. And then the hard conversations really start. It's all right, this is what the scripture says about the way you're living. This is what you need to change in your life. This is what you need to understand about the word. But at that point, it's no longer them understanding it in their own power. When they're under the blood of Christ, they have the Holy Spirit in them. And it's the Holy Spirit teaching them, not them trying to comprehend it by their own earthly means. Let's be honest, we are limited in our earthly capacity to understand the things of God. We must read it through His power, of His blood, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must teach us. As our lives are covered in the blood. And as we read just a few minutes ago, and does what is right, but every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. What is acceptable to the Lord? I think of Romans 12, 1 through 2. If people are to find answers to the questions of spirit, that's one of my notes. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I encourage you, go home, read the rest of chapter 12. Your life will look different. It will be transformed, it will be renewed. You will learn what it means to live holy, not good. Good people don't get into heaven. That's a lot of good people that go to hell. Holy people enter the gates of heaven. And what makes us different from being good is the blood of Christ. It's the heart behind the actions. The heart surrendered to the lordship of Christ, that we do our good deeds out of appreciation to the Lord, not obligation, trying to earn our way into heaven. So we get down to our good deeds, apart from Christ, are tainted by our human heart, by our sinful desires. And when we are apart from Christ, we don't realize how they're tainted. You may be sitting here today going, well, Brother Austin, I'm a good person. I know this and this good person. They don't know Christ. They will go to hell. If you have not surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will be in hell for all eternity if something does not change. Because you must surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior to live a life surrendered to Him. And because the gospel is what saves us, the gospel is what unites us as the family of God. We are the family of God by His grace. Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. No exceptions. We all were once children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love, of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Yes. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You are who you are in Christ by His grace, by His blood, by His work. That's why you're a believer. Before you was even born, He died for your sins on the cross. Sent His Holy Spirit to draw you. Because when Adam and Eve bit of the fruit all those years ago, God did not have to create this plan of salvation. He could have left us to our own desires. And we could have all rightly and justly went to hell. Because that's not a single one of us in here that have not chosen personally to rebel against God. And He would have been right and just to condemn us all. But He had that great love for us, has that great love for us. And by His grace put on human flesh and came and lived a human life and did not make the first mistake and died a gruesome, awful, painful death, so that we may be restored to our relationship with Him. Even though we had ruined it. He paid the ultimate price to restore it. And then it didn't end there. He gave us His word. Because He could have came 2,000 years ago, but like, maybe they hear about it. The ones that hear about it, they hear about it. They don't. That's not what He done. He gave us His word. God the Spirit has came down to this earth and draws us to Him and convicts. What great graces we have been shown. What great mercies we have been shown. What a responsibility we have to take the gospel to the nations. So I know right now some of you may be going, well, Brother Austin, what about those in the Amazon? Those in the plains of Africa that have never heard the gospel? If they have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, their eternity is hell. But Scripture, Romans tells us, God reveals himself through the wonders of nature. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around. We haven't been in that position. But also the question I would ask you, if that is something that keeps you up at night, is that what breaks your heart? Secondly, what you going to do about it? Because God may be calling you to go to that nation, to that people group that keeps you up at night, that you can't let go of. But you're going, if I go, my life may be ended. Walk in obedience. Walk in obedience. That's something hard to wrestle with. But we know in the goodness of God, he does no wrong. He does no evil. And we know his word that says we are saved by Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Confessing him as Savior and Lord. What are you doing to get the gospel to those that have not heard? We go on in this passage, verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brothers who throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles who had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." And then Peter goes on to explain what had happened. Recaps much of what we've read over the last 2 weeks. But let us be clear, we are equal in the gospel. You are saved by grace and grace alone. And this event marks that. Just like when the church started in Jerusalem, it was marked by them speaking in many different foreign languages on the day of Pentecost. When the church started among the Gentiles, the same thing happened. They started speaking in foreign tongues they didn't know. Just as when the church started in Jerusalem, when the church started among the Gentiles, it was marked just the same. When the Holy Spirit descended, they spoke in foreign languages they had never spoke before, never practiced before. But in that moment, God gave them that special gift. But the Jews, instead of celebrating, criticized. You went to them, those uncircumcised folks, even though God had put his mark upon them and said, allow them the same gifts as he allowed the Jewish church. Gift them in the same ways. But the folks back in Jerusalem missed it. Those uncircumcised folks are doing that. And then Peter went on to talk how that came from God and how God had moved. So when you get to verse 18, it says, "And they glorified God, saying then to the Gentiles, also God has granted repentance that leads to life." They went through a moment where they thought themselves superior. But through the words of God, they were convicted, they were humbled, and realized they were no better. Because it was by the grace of God. How often do we run into moral superiority in our lives? It's a problem we face all the time. Paul had to address the problem again a few years later. Well, not again. Peter addressed it. And a few years later, Paul had to address the same issue, but this time among the Gentiles, thinking they were better than others because they were gifted in certain ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in tongues, in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. The greatest thing in using the gifts God has given us is to pursue love. Do we do it in love for the Lord? Do we seek how it edifies the church, how it serves others? Because we fall into the same traps today. We may think because we're gifted in one way that others may not be gifted, that we have a moral superiority. In teaching and preaching, I have to guard myself against that one. Because I can tell you times when I'm teaching somebody one-on-one, working through the Word of God, I read the passages, they'll read it, and it's like it goes right over the head. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you miss that? It's obvious. It's what I'm doing in my mind. And it's like the Lord jars me a little and goes, Austin, I've gifted you to teach and explain. That's the times you are going to understand a little quicker because that's how I gifted you to teach it. Now humble yourself and teach and be patient. Many times that has happened to me. We can go through the different spiritual gifts and we all can find ways we have struggled with our feeling of superiority. Sometimes it's theological pride. Sometimes it's moral superiority, is it not? Sometimes we may think we're better than the next person because, hey, I'm 32 years old and I've never smoked a joint, but I know so-and-so, man, they've smoked more than they can count. Or maybe, well, I'm 50, 60, 70 years old, and I ain't never had the first sip of alcohol, but so-and-so has, so I know I'm a better Christian. And we may not put it that bluntly, but is that not how we act sometimes? That we look at how we lived, or it may be, well, you in my car, in my house, all you ever hear is K-Love, Moody Radio. But I got in so-and-so's car the other day, and they had Tim McGraw on. Can you believe it? Have we not had thoughts like that? Well, we let stuff like that make us feel like we're better off than somebody else. Remember, you are who you are by the grace of God. Yeah. By His grace, you have been gifted the way you've been gifted. Yeah. I didn't choose to be a preacher. I didn't choose the gifts He gave me, but He gave them. The ones that sing in the choir, you didn't choose to have a beautiful singing voice. There ain't no way you could have chose to have a good singing voice, because if you could, I would have. I love to sing, but I am not gifted. But some of you have been gifted, and you're obedient to use it when God says, help lead worship. I know some people who've been gifted with the gift of worship, being able to lead and sing, and then they chose to sit in a pew. And over the years, their voice began to fade. Or I think of the story of Matthew West. He let pride get to him, and he went through a medical scare where he thought he was going to lose his voice. And through that, God humbled him. And now Matthew West continues to do a powerful ministry. But that was a moment it was almost over. Because he forgot by the grace of God he sung. By the grace of God he was able to write songs. Not by his power, not by his might, but by his might and his power. So as we conclude this morning, examine your heart. Is there partiality in your heart? Who do you instinctively avoid? Is that a family member, a neighbor you avoid? Is it somebody in the grocery store when you see them, it's like, I don't want to get in this conversation again. I think I need bread all of a sudden. And you already got a loaf in it, but you know they ain't going that way, so let me swing down the bread aisle. Oh, that's the bathroom. I'm going to leave my buggy right here. I'm going to go sit in the stall for a few minutes and hope they're gone. And then you run into them nose to nose when you leave the bathroom. Who do you silently judge? Who would it shock people to see you talk to? Secondly, pursue preparation. How are you preparing your heart to be used by God? Do you have the fear of the Lord in your heart? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible study life? How's your household integrity? Who are you at home? We all put on a holy face here, but when you leave here, when the mask comes off, who are you? Thirdly, let us obey without hesitation as Peter did. When the Spirit prompted, he obeyed. When the Spirit prompts you, obey. When Scripture confronts you, obey and repent. When opportunity arises to share the gospel, speak. Don't be silent. When we preach the gospel, let it not be a focus on moral improvement or cultural Christianity, but let it focus on the lordship of Christ. Let it focus on the cross, on his resurrection, on the judgment and the forgiveness of God. And lastly, this week, let us celebrate God's grace. I did not save myself. You did not save yourself. You did not pay the price for your sins. He did. And let us celebrate that. If God shows no partiality in salvation, neither must we as his church in proclaiming the gospel. Pray that we are honest with ourselves. And I pray as God boldly saved us, we boldly preach the gospel. I pray this year is full of many more baptisms of celebrating transformed hearts, transformed lives. So let's remember, that does not save us, but it's a celebration.
Yeah.
So that is what saved us. We may be a lot more saved people in the world throughout history. I think when you study the history of Catholicism, that's some periods where they went to nations, and it's like, all right, you get baptized, or you die. And like the baptism numbers for those years were just out the roof. So just reading the numbers, you're like, they were doing some stuff. And then you start reading the details, it's like, well, I might have got into if they had a sword to me. But we come to the Lord not by force. Because don't we try to do that sometimes in today's world? Not necessarily with a sword, but you get family members you try to beat into the baptism waters. It's like, if I can get them just in the baptism, they're going to be all right. Nah, if you preach the gospel and the gospel gets into their heart, they're going to be all right. And then you get to come to church with them for the first time in a long time, and they're going to get in that baptistry, and y'all going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. Let us boldly proclaim the gospel. Let us not let ourselves get in the way. Let us not let our preferences get in the way. But let it be the grace of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your grace in my life, Lord. Because I would not be where I'm at today, Lord, if it was not for your grace. I would not have the peace, the joy of a relationship with you if it was not for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for it, Lord. Lord, let me not keep that grace to myself, Lord. Because if the grace I've been shown, Lord, let me show grace. Because of how your word has touched my life, Lord, let me share your word with the others around me. And let your word transform. Let your word convict. Lord, I pray, Lord, in this time of invitation, Lord, that people do business with you. More importantly, as this week goes on, I pray people do business with you. That business with you to them is not just a Sunday transaction, but it's a way of life. It's a way of surrender. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.